Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another week of Inside UNC Baseball with head coach Scott Forbes. I'm Tommy Ashley. That's Matt Clements. We're sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt, JohnnyT-Shirt.com. So, first question, Coach Forbes.
Yes, sir.
Could it have been a better weekend for North Carolina athletics when you not only take the baseball team's success, the basketball team, the softball team, just an impressive weekend for North Carolina athletics?
Yeah, no doubt. That's what's great about being in a place like North Carolina. Everybody's good, and so many teams have great teams, and this time of year for me is my favorite, obviously, because we're getting warmer temperatures, number one. But if you're a huge basketball fan like I am, you're getting, you know, an ACC tournament. Obviously, we just beat Duke at Duke to win the regular season. I actually left a voicemail to Coach Davis this morning because I didn't want to bother him and congratulate, because that's hard to do. It's harder to win a regular season title than it is an ACC tournament title, in my opinion. And then obviously the success of everybody else. It's awesome weekend for sure.
When you look at what your team was able to do, I mean, you played three right feisty ball games against a Pittsburgh team that brought it to Chapel Hill, brought some attitude to Chapel Hill. When you face a team like that, that's going to fight you and is going to talk to you and all, does it make it any sweeter when you actually go out and handle them, especially the way you did with D'Onofrio's hit late yesterday?
I wouldn't say necessarily makes it sweeter. You know, the league has gotten better. So for me, you know, that's one thing I like about the ACC now. It's not like you can just show up and win. Teams are good. Pitt was playing really well. Older group, confident group. You know, they had really been scoring at a high rate coming in here. And they had gone to, you know, I think it was Vegas and beat two good teams in Cal and Oklahoma and beat them almost 10-run rule, both of them. So I knew it was going to be a tough series. But, you know, for some reason now more than ever, it's, you know, I don't know why. For me, I think it's what you allow is what you encourage. So I know how I feel about it. But teams just tend to be a little bit more chirpy, and if that's what they want to do, that's fine. I'm just a firm believer that if you keep your composure, you play the game the right way, that you're going to come out on top a lot more than you don't. So, you know, for me, if a team does happen to be that way, it's just going to make us play even better here at North Carolina.
Yeah, you mentioned the chirpiness. I don't know if you've seen the end of the LSU-South Carolina women's game.
I did see that.
That is insane what is going on. And you definitely get what you allow. That's my people that watch Inside Carolina know that's my favorite statement, because if you don't allow it, they won't do it. And if they do it, they can go home. But when you look at how your team reacts, D'Onofrio told us post-game, he said, you know, they're a feisty bunch. They kind of encourage that or whatever. We're a vanilla, get your job done, be competitive type team. that seems like what you really instilled. These guys play hard for you. They don't give you much stuff, at least not what we see. You talk about culture all the time. You bring in these new guys. How good is it for you to see, hey, we picked a guy like D'Onofrio, Anthony D'Onofrio, and he blends in perfectly. I mean, we got it right. Just talk about that aspect of recruiting and in the portal, getting guys that actually come in and are like, hey, man, we made a right choice right there.
Well, I mean, I want to give credit to our coaches, Coach Weirs, Coach Gaines, and Coach Howell. They're on the road all the time, all summer. And we put a bigger emphasis, you know, now more than ever on really trying to dive into who the kid is, what's his family's like, what's his background, are there any red flags? Obviously, the talent has to jump off the page. But I was fortunate, you know, I played at a junior college my freshman year where we could pretty much do whatever we wanted to do. And then I walk in at North Carolina Wesleyan, where I figured out really quick that there's a certain way to do things. And some of the older players told me that way. And then I recognized that at that program, if you kept your mouth shut, played hard, took care of your business off the field, you wouldn't have any troubles with Coach Fox. And I wanted to play and I didn't want to have any troubles. But also realized quickly that it works, you know, the discipline. You can be disciplined. You can have humility. You can play the game the right way and you can still be really, really tough. And I think it's kind of misleading when people say, oh, you know, they're not tough just because they don't do all that stuff. I couldn't disagree more. Like Dean Smith always said, a line never roars after a kill. I mean, you know, really, like every time you get a base hit, you have to showboat, or every time you get hit a double, or every time you hit a home run, or every time you hit a three-pointer. On the reverse side of that, it's okay to have emotion, right? You're going to pump your fist. You're going to get excited. But for me, it has to be towards your own team, firing up your own players. Understanding that there are kids at these games that they're watching you and they want to emulate you, and that's a big responsibility. So I just remind our guys of that, but that's just what it is here. You know, we're going to play that way. We're going to play hard, and our guys know it's not hard to run a hard 90 and hustle on and off the field, but we also want to respect the game and do it the right way.
Coach Forbes, you've talked about, you know, Parks Harbor and the fact that he's got tremendous offensive ability. You know, he hit his first home run on Friday, got chirped at by the pitcher, then, you know, doubled, then Cost came in and scored the winning run. Can you talk about what the UNC offense is going to look like when Harbor does get hot? Because, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, that's the thing about it. It's still so early. I'm going to remind the guys today when we meet, we're on spring break, which is going to be an awesome week for us. We're excited about it. Beautiful weather. But just about like, hey, you know, today's what matters. And that's the case with Parks Harbor. You know, you can go from having five RBIs to having 25 in 2 weeks in a second or 2.5 weeks. But we do think, you know, if we get those guys driving the ball a little bit more, Coach Weirs and I were talking this morning, we feel like we've been good offensively, but not great. We feel like we can be great. And we felt like we were a little bit on the defensive this week against Campbell and against Pitt. We felt like their pitchers were on pretty good. And instead of us sticking with our plan of trying to do damage in our counts, it looked like we were kind of hitting with two strikes when we didn't have two strikes. So we're going to work on that this week. But I'm excited, you know, for our offense and the capability when those guys start really driving the ball.
Yeah, you talked about the offense, but then, you know, UNC looks like they're really turning the page as far as defense goes, only committing one error this entire week, turning two double plays. Can you talk about the stability of the infield and particularly like on the corners of the Diamond Heels?
Yeah, for me, honestly, Matt, starts in the middle, our middle infield, just up the middle in general with Honeycutt, Colby Wilkerson, and Madera. I mean, that's as good as if we've ever had here at range, turning a double play, getting the balls that other teams can't get to. And Parks Harbor's really improved defensively at first base. He made some really big plays this whole last week, besides not catching the foul ball at Campbell that we gave him a hard time about with the padded wall. And then third base, you know, it's going to – some guys, different guys are going to play third this year. It just kind of is what it is. We've got some really good options with Johnny Gavin and Van de Break, and also with, you know, even a guy like Elliot Dix that hadn't been in there much. But we feel like all of them are going to bring us something. But that's something we work really hard on. But like you said, what goes with defense is pitching. And when you're pounding the strike zone, you're not out there on your foot, on your feet forever, and you're just going to be a better defensive team when your pitchers are filling up the zone. That's what we did this last week.
Staying there, and you mentioned several names. Gavin's played well. Dix hadn't seen the field much. We know about Vanderbreck's struggles. Two-part question here. How do you work guys in when, A, the midweeks matter these days, yeah, and also you're playing well? I mean, it's going good for you now. You know, you've had some consistency the last couple of weeks in starting lineups. How do you work these guys in, whether it's Gavin getting back in, whether it's Vanderbreck getting another shot? How do you manage that?
Yeah, you just, you know, it's not easy, but it's a good problem to have, because you'd rather have those good players that aren't in there than not enough good players. We organized practice today. The guys, the bulk of the guys, you know, for the most part, eight guys have been in there pretty much every single day. And those eight, you know, we want to get them to recover a little bit today. But the ones that didn't play much this weekend, we got to get the machine cranked up. We got to get them some live at-bats. We got to get them balls off the bat defensively. So that's how you do it. And you watch. You know, I pay attention in practice. I remember Mikey Madej hadn't been in there. We were struggling in 2022. And it looked like to me he was really turning the corner in practice. He was more relaxed. He was having great BP. He wasn't putting as much pressure on himself, and we threw him in there and he never came out. So I remind the guys how important practice is. And sometimes if it's kind of even, Tommy, you just go with what you see. It could even be the day of the game and you watch BP and you're like, you know what? He looks really good today. I'm going to put him at this position. So you're going to try to work him in. Sometimes a guy may need a day just for his body. You hope that doesn't happen too often because they really shouldn't need it at their age. But we did play a lot of games. The fact that we don't play during exams, you know, that's a disadvantage from the standpoint we have to fit all these 5-game weeks in. So that helps us and, you know, give some guys some rest. So that's what we'll probably do this week.
Same thing with the pitching rotation. I mean, you seem to be pretty set on how you want it to go. You've still got some arms you haven't used and some you haven't used a lot. You know, what you've thrown out there for the most part has been really solid. What's left out there that maybe we haven't seen that you know's an option at some point, and how do you work those guys in? How do you not put a Poston in a high leverage situation or a Pence in to use one of these not lesser guys, but guys that haven't played as much?
Well, you obviously, when you have a week like this and you know, okay, we've got two midweek games. That's where I'm thankful that I was a pitching coach, because, you know, I'm obviously going to be – that's the first thing my mind's going to go to is, if I was still the pitching coach, who would I really not prefer to pitch this week? And that would be a Poston and a Pence. In a perfect world, they don't throw against Rutgers. The world's not perfect. But you do challenge your team. You challenge your team offensively and say, hey, this is our goal this week. We can't give away any at-bats. We got to score as many extra runs as we can. But, you know, you have that plan, you hope, but you still got to win the game. But the exciting part, Coach Gaines and I were talking about this morning, is we do feel like, and it takes a little time, especially with we felt like we had a lot of talent on the mound, but we just had to figure out some roles. Spray going out there after his, you know, first outing and then backing up with an even better outing, Boaz and DeCaro. So those three, you know, we feel good about our rotation. We're going to start Boston Flannery tomorrow, get him back out there, and then Olin Johnson on Wednesday, two more freshmen. And we're going to try to get Ben Peterson back in there. You know, we got to get Cam Padgett back in there. We got Fisher, who threw 100 innings every year at New Jersey Tech. So that's why these guys are here, you know, to have that depth, to get them in the games, of Kyle Percival's, those guys, this midweek, to try to go into Miami and not – be hanging too much. And I think we're very capable of doing that. But I'm, you know, I was most pleased this week about our pitching.
Coach Forbes, it certainly seems like Casey Cook is just quietly just, you know, gets it done at the plate. You know, this season, you know, he's on batting almost 400, leading the team. He's hit three home runs, leads the team with 24 runs batted in, second with 18 runs. Can you talk about his consistency and development offensively?
Yeah, we were actually talking about him this morning. We were going to talk to all of our hitters, and he's a great example. He's getting an A swing off. if it's a 0-0 count and it's a nasty changeup, you'll notice Casey Cook will swing and miss it instead of just getting a weak ground ball to second base, and then he'll adjust. Great hitters adjust during the at-bat, not after an at-bat, and that's what Casey is able to do. But he's also made himself more of a complete player. He's fought a little bit of a quad, so he's played through it. It's getting better, so his speed's not quite where it was in the preseason. But yesterday, as soon as that ball was hit, that was a tremendous read. I mean, he saw it that it was not going to be caught right away, and a lot of guys would have hesitated, which allowed us to send him in that situation. But he's been our most consistent hitter. We thought he was our best pure hitter, him or Parks Harbor. But, man, that weight room has paid off now because he's driving the ball.
And two pitchers in the pen have carved out very valuable roles. Matty Mathis is now the official vulture in the pen. So do you save him for when he gets the opportunity? Like, if it's 4 2/3 innings, is it time? Is it Matty time? Because he's circling around hoping for that win.
He must be living right. That's what we told him. He's just stealing all the wins. He's stealing them, though, because he's pitched well. He comes in and he gets it done. And, man, that's been a huge bonus to our bullpen because you obviously have Pence and Poston who are who they are. They're tough, and they're one's left-handed, one's right-handed. They got the riding fastballs. They also have good off-speed pitches. Then you have Matty in there who's a lot different than both of them. And then you look at Aiden Houck, who was even better yesterday than he was the day before. That's an exciting thing for our pitching staff. And as a head coach, it's also exciting because it puts a lot of pressure on the opponent. I know when we prepare and a team has a really good bullpen, you're like, hey, if we're not ahead in the sixth or the seventh, this is going to be an uphill battle, and we're hoping that's the pressure we can put on teams as we move forward.
It's funny that you mentioned Aiden Howell because, you know, he leads the team with 9 appearances. Can you talk about what, you know, a scouting report on him and what makes him so effective out of the pen?
You know, Coach Howell went to see him, during the spring, whenever it was, and really liked the breaking ball. Big kid, physical kid. And then since he's been here, him and Coach Gaines, you know, worked really hard with him, and he's worked hard in the weight room. He's a big kid. But he's a quiet kid, but he works. He's learned how to be more confident, and he can equalize you. Because he can be up to 94 and he's got a hammer of a breaking ball, but he's developed that changeup that he can show to those lefties to kind of keep them off the heater.
When you look at a guy like that, and this is what's interesting about baseball really more than any other sport. He played at East Wake. He didn't play. He told us the other day, you know, like, what'd you do for East Wake? He said, sat on the bench a lot and then decided he wanted to continue to play ball, so he goes to Fayetteville Tech. Those sort of diamonds in the rough, maybe. I don't know if you really call that, but when you're recruiting a guy like that, I mean, if you're a college football recruiter, you can't really go looking for a ton of diamonds in the rough because if you do, you won't have a job. But when you have 16, 17 pitchers, do you find yourself recruiting guys at, hey, this guy's got the size, he's got the tools we need, he hasn't really had an opportunity to do it a ton, let's take a chance on him, let's roll with that? How does that work in the recruiting process with guys like Aiden? Because you're right, I'm a fairly tall guy, I haven't looked up to too many people in my life other than a basketball player, and he is significantly bigger than I am, and has the frame, all the physical tools you need. How do you manage that in recruiting?
You know, Tommy, I always, you know, since I was when I was a pitching coach here, command was number one, athleticism was number two, or athleticism / toughness, competitiveness. And then for me, like, I really like guys that could spin the baseball. I feel like we could develop a changeup. It's hard to teach somebody how to spin a ball. And with him, when we saw that, when Coach Al said, like, he can really, the slider / slurve curve is, excuse me, really good. Then there's some upside there with his size, in-state, not a ton of leverage on his arm. But he also had pretty good feel for the strike zone. You know, the gambles you can't take in college are guys that just can't throw strikes. You know, maybe you can sign that guy to a pro contract because he's 94, 97 and see what happens. But for us, you got those strikes to win the game and to be competitive. But you know, you got to have some guys on the pitching staff that you say, everybody, like you said, is not going to be the guy that's turning down $1 million to come to college. You got to have guys that get here that you feel like have something. And then your job as a coach, that's where the development comes in. Like, can they get better? Can they get stronger? And can they tick up?
So let me ask a sort of a spinoff of this. And this is just for really, I hope folks like the question because I'm curious. Do you find recruiting guys? We talk about JUCO bandits all the time, but do you find guys that weren't the cream of the crop, weren't the highly ranked guys, weren't the guys that everybody lauds over? Do you find a difference when they get to college as far as mindset and approach? And I know it's it's a case by case basis, but in general, yeah, over your career.
Yeah, sometimes for sure. You know, the old saying, when everybody's told you you're the best, sometimes you can start listening to that. Again, I think the parents are extremely important. You know, you can have a kid that I look at Walker Jenkins. He didn't make it here, but he wasn't like that, you know, and I credit his mom and dad from the standpoint. I'm sure that they had conversations like, hey, buddy, you know, whatever, because everybody's going to tell him you're the best player since Josh Hamilton. But yeah, I mean, there's always some guys that have been told the opposite. You're not good enough. You're too slow. Whatever it is. And sometimes if you're competitive and you want to prove people wrong and you carry that chip with you in the right way, it can help you. And meshing those two together, when you're in a place like University of North Carolina, you know, you got to get the best players. You got to be in the mix with every, you know, top high school player. But now if you can blend in, you know, a transfer from Quinnipiac and D'Onofrio that was told, you know, he was barely good enough to play Division III and wasn't good enough to play anywhere really except one place at Offerman in Quinnipiac. And if you mesh those together, the thing about the junior college guys is they understand they have to work to get themselves good enough to play in North Carolina. Sometimes kids are just gifted enough and they forget, like, hey, when I get there, that's going to go away. Like Tom Brady used to always say, like, hard work becomes a part of your character because the talent, eventually, if you don't work, it'll wear off. But that hard work will start passing those guys.
And Coach Forbes, you talk about, you know, the culture of the program. Can you talk about the student managers' roles? You've got four great student managers in Hunt Bailey, Josie Carver, Grayson Guy, and JB Sebastino. Can you talk about what their roles are and what they bring to the table and what opportunities students have at UNC to participate in the baseball program, even if they can't hit a slider?
Yeah, they're awesome, number one. And we have high standards for our managers. I mean, we tell them, like, hey, this is a big deal. You're just as a part of our team as the three-hole hitter. And we don't want you down here unless you're serious about it and you want to be fully vested because it is time-consuming. But if you do decide to do it and stick with it, you're going to be rewarded because you're a part of our team. And you know, the guys that have done that have been tremendous. They do things behind the scenes. They help set up for practice. They catch up balls. They shag balls. They get things ready with Daniel in the equipment room. They're so valuable. Fun to be around.
And, you know, sports betting is going live in North Carolina. What have you had any discussion with your student athletes about do's and do nots as far as that goes? And are you ready for more scrutiny from gamblers about, hey, who's Coach Forbes going to start on Tuesday? And how can we win some money on the Tar Heels?
Yeah, our school's done a good job. We've had some educational sessions. I do talk to our guys. I got a reminder today on that. You know, the older you get too, the more blunt you are about things. I just tell our guys, don't do it. You know, it's a bad road to go down. And I'm not, you asked me if I'm ready for scrutiny. I mean, I wouldn't even know. Like, if somebody calls me, I would just hang up on them because that's not something that I'm interested in. And, you know, but I do have to pay attention to it and help our guys understand that they could be the ones that are contacted. They are the ones that can be talked to. So you got to recognize it. You have to adapt and be like, hey, this goes on. Let's make sure it doesn't go on with our program.
One more question for you. We'll let you go. We know you got a little meeting that's probably more important than this show, but we always appreciate your time.
Oh, shoot. Coach, we're on spring break. Guys ain't got nowhere to go.
Yeah, so tell them to wait for a second, because I want to ask you. I asked Anthony D'Onofrio last night about the dog, about Remington. And he goes on and on and on about how amazing Remington is. I think it's a cool deal. I mean, everybody, you know, we've seen other teams come in that are impressed, but how important is it to create not just a culture of expectations, but a comfort level for these young men that come from basically all walks of life and all levels of play? And what role does Remington play in that? I know Terry Joe is all about keeping them healthy and all, but it's also mentally healthy.
Yeah, and it's a pretty cool deal. It's more about Terry Joe. And obviously Remington is a part of Terry Joe. But without Terry Joe, Remington wouldn't be here. And Terry Joe's the one that for me is, I mean, she's irreplaceable. She's been here since I've been here. I work with her closely, obviously, because you work more with the trainer with pitchers. It's just the nature of the beast. But there is, you know, that's like you said, you know, everything is how you look at it. And I think it's cool. You know, Remington's amazing if you really boil it down. But Terry Joe's even more amazing with what she does and how much she cares. Because she's not just good at what she does. She cares, generally cares about these guys, their lives, their families. And then add Remington in there. Just, you know, it's just part of our program now, right? Like you know that Remington's part of Carolina baseball.
You cannot not love a golden retriever that can carry baseballs around. And as D'Onofrio told us, can understand English and Spanish. It was a great story last night. Coach Forbes, I appreciate your time. So Flannery Tuesday, Olin Johnson Wednesday, same weekend rotation down in Miami.
Yep, Boaz, DeCaro, Sprague.
All righty. Well, get some sunscreen. Don't come back looking like a tomato. Like those are your words.
Probably will.
And probably,
it's gonna be nice.
Yeah, I if I can catch plane charter, I'll be on South Beach. You guys could handle.
Coach, y'all have an awesome week and excited about the ACC tournament. And good luck to our basketball teams.
Yeah, appreciate all your time. Appreciate it, Matt. Appreciate Johnny T-Shirt and Congruity for their sponsorships. Thanks, Scott.
Thank y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.